Being a chassan, being engaged, brings with it a unique level of simcha. There is some lack of clarity. It's sort of an ambiguous time between dating and getting married, but by and large, it's a time of tremendous simcha. Excitement, planning for the wedding. And part of that simcha is the zechus of learning a new aspect of halacha that you might know a little bit about, but most people do not really know well. Hilchos Nida. It's a zechus. Zechus to explore these halachos, explore them well, and to really go in depth to understand what Hilchos Nida are, halacha l'maisa. As you probably know, Hilchos Nida deal with a woman's menstrual period. And the way it works is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in his infinite wisdom a woman's body to emit blood once a month. In a few minutes we'll go into a little bit of the greater details to how that works. Once a month, we call that, of course, menstrual blood, comes from the Latin mens. Mens means month, similar to the word we have in English. It's once a month. When a uterus emits blood, the Torah says, the end of Parshas Achrei Mos, we just read it most recently on Yom Kippur at Mincha, Ve'al'isha v'nidash tumasa lo sikra. A person is prohibited from being with a woman who's a nida, and doing so is an iser karis. So the study of Hilchos Nida is the study of what creates that status of nidus, what happens during that time, and how to remove that status to make a woman again permitted to her husband. As a disclaimer, nida usually has a reputation of being a difficult limud. In fact, in the yeshivas they say ani, erevin, nida, and yivama, so three most difficult masechtos. But nida has, as they might say in common parlance, a bad rap. It's a very bad reputation as being a difficult masech. The Hilchos Nida are very simple. They're very easy. They're simple to understand, simple to go through. Some of the details of Hilchos Nida, Masechas Nida, has a lot of lumnus, which is hard to really focus on. But as far as Hilchos Nida, don't be scared off. Nida is not a difficult limud. Halachos of Nida are no different than Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Kashrus. They're halacha, and they're easy to understand. Of course, like any other halacha, Hilchos Shabbos also. The more you know, the more you see the complexities of halacha. But as far as what to do halacha maisa, it's really very simple. The most important rule in Hilchos Nida, and this is the only halacha I say more than once, comes from Mishnah and Avos, nothing to do with Nida. Asay v'charav. The most important rule is to find a person who's a posek that you feel distrusting, both comfortable, both distrusting halacha and hashkafa with. It has to be one and the other. The Derech Klal and Hilchos Nida, people don't ask enough shailos. As much as they think they're asking, they're not asking enough. And you'll find, surprisingly, a rule of thumb is that whenever there's a nida shaila, the wife is the most machmir, the husband is more makil, and the rav is the most makil. The more you know, the easier it is to be makil. So it's very important to ask a shaila, because what sometimes you think is a problem is really not a problem. What you think is not a problem could sometimes indeed be a problem. So another way of saying that is the three most important rules of nida are ask, ask, and ask. Asay l'charav. Find the person. You're welcome to ask me shaylos if you'd like. Find someone that you feel comfortable with, again, being yourself, discussing halacha and hashkafa with, and importantly, in today's day and age, that your kala feels comfortable discussing shaylos with too. It's important for the kala to feel free. Often, many nida shaylos I discuss with the woman herself rather than with her husband, and you get much more clarity that way. So make sure to find the person, whoever it is, that you feel comfortable discussing both halacha and hashkafa with. It's a little bit funny when you're engaged, focusing on the time, Be'ezus Hashem, the chasna b'shatov mitzlachas, which is going to be a time that the husband and wife are able to be unified for the first time. It's a little bit uncomfortable talking about the times in marriage that you're going to be separated. Why does such a thing exist? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu make dinim, which separate husband and wife? The simplest answer is the Torah says so. Nida, there's dinim of nida which are min haTorah, which are no different than Shabbos and Kashrus and Yom Kippur that's min haTorah. Dinim of nida which are min drabanan are no different than Ner Chanukah and Megillah that are min drabanan. That's the simplest answer. That's really enough for us as halachic Jews. The fact that the Torah says so, the fact that Chazal added chumras are dinim. Nevertheless, there are several benefits a person has, which are not really reasons, but they are ancillary benefits a person gets from keeping Hilchos Nida. The first, most famous one, is the Gemara. The Gemara says in Maseches Nida Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, a famous Gemara, which happens to be verified psychologically, that often when a couple is married 1 week, 2 weeks, month in, month out, year after year, it's possible, chas v'shalom, for the marriage to get a little bit stale. We hope it should never happen. But it's possible by having marriage be something which is common, that people get a little bit tired of one another. Says the Torah, we are building into the system of marriage a guaranteed honeymoon once a month. That kala once a month, because usually menstruation happens once a month, is going to be muteris to her husband again after she's prohibited, as if she just entered to the chuppah. So the Gemara is telling us that benefit number one of Hilchos Nida is that there's an automatic freshness in marriage. Not that chas v'shalom, if people didn't have it, they would really find it stale, chas v'shalom. But there's always a benefit of having freshness. And psychologically, it's a very helpful thing as well. Dr. Feltovitz has a story that he was once at a convention, where there was someone who had this great idea. In order to help marriages, they should have a certain times that husband and wife were prohibited from one another. Dr. Feltovitz said, well, actually, my people have been doing this for a long time, that I didn't believe it. He said, nah, couldn't be. It's such a new idea. But we know, is that the reason? Chas v'shalom. That's at least one benefit husband and wife get. Although it's a little bit hard sometimes being separate, the freshness that it adds to one's marriage. Number two, there's really two parts to marriage. The first part is the physical relationship. That's a very important part of marriage. But number two, there's the connection of two people, it's communication, with appreciation, the non-physical parts of marriage. Often, when the two are intertwined, it's possible to sometimes replace the non-physical aspects. Developing connection, developing a relationship, emotional discussions, with the physical part. As they say, one of the worst things to do is to solve a marriage dispute in the bedroom. There are two different ideas. One has to work on communication as well as the physical part, and they're both important. Another benefit of Hilchos Nida is that a person has built into the system a part of the month that a person is going to focus solely on the emotional parts, on the appreciating his wife and she appreciating him as spouses rather than only the physical part. Is that the reason? Again, of course not, but it's an added benefit as well. And number three, the Ravid has a sefer called Dvar HaNefesh, which he wrote on Hilchos Nida. And in the Avdama of the Ravid sefer, Bala HaNefesh, he writes that if you think about it in Halacha, many things that are unique, that are special, that we thank Hashem for, we give it a bit to Hashem. Biturim, first fruits of the season, give some to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give it bring it to Beis HaMikdash. Truma, Meiser, things that we thank Hashem for specifically that we really appreciate, we do so by giving some back to someone else, or to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Taviyachol, showing that we appreciate it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Ravid, one of the greatest gifts that Hashem gave man is the union of husband and wife. In order to show us how special it is, how much we appreciate it, what a bracha it is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a certain time of the month that we refrain, that we give, as it were, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we separate part, in order to show our appreciation for the tremendous gift of marriage. Is that the reason? Again, not the reason, but one added benefit a person is to focus on the fact that it's such a tremendous gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbe even continues that this is quoted in the first tour in Yerideya, in Hilchos Nida, it's the first tour in Ebenezer. The Rebbe continues, if you look at the animal kingdom, often the animal kingdom does not have such a gift. They just have, based on the season, there's no such idea as husband and wife. The gift of a husband and a wife being miyuchad for one another is a tremendous gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that we thank Hashem for partially by having Hilchos Nida, like Truma, like Meiser. But since Hilchos Nida does entail some time of separation between husband and wife, it's normal for it to be a little difficult. As we know in Halacha, not everything in Halacha is easy. Yom Kippur is an unbelievable day. But it's nice. It would be nice if we were allowed to have a little bit of coffee, something to refresh ourselves in Yom Kippur. It's harder, definitely harder, to fast in Yom Kippur. Whenever we have difficulties in Halacha, times that are not as easy as we'd like, there are two diametrically opposed approaches we can have. Number one, Rav Moshe Feinstein used to sometimes bemoan the fact that we had people that came to America in the 20s and 30s. They were moser nefesh for Shabbos. But Nebuch, the next generation, was not Shomer Shabbos. How could that be? They were moser nefesh so much, and the next generation just turned out being not Orthodox at all. So Rav Moshe said sometimes when people said, Shver tzayne yid, it's hard to be a Jew, they let out a krech. They said, oi, I keep Shabbos, but you know, it's sure it's any, I'll do it, just it's hard, but I do it. That gave very little motivation for the next generation to want to be Orthodox. Why should I have a life which is schwer? If you're different crafts, it's not really something which is healthy for you, certainly not for your kids. On the other hand, the person can say, you know, I have Torah, mitzvos, sometimes they're a little hard, but there are benefits as well. This is Dvar Hashem. What is the chus I have? Do mitzvos, do Torah. Shabbos is hard too. We don't usually think about how difficult Shabbos is. We think about Me'en Olam Haba of Shabbos. We think about Kashrus, how lucky we are to have the mitzvos of Kashrus. So neither as well. Neither is a time which can have difficulty. But instead of approaching it with Shver Tzaniyid, you know, okay, such is life. We approach it with, this is the beauty of Halacha, Baruch Hashem. That being said, it is normal sometimes to find the Hilchus Nida, whether it's the actual separation, or as we'll talk about, the Harchotos, which are Midrabanan, which make it even harder for a husband and wife sometimes to connect. It's normal to find it hard sometimes. And if you find it hard, that's okay. It's important to trust it with someone that you trust. Asay Alech Harav. Feel free to talk to someone about it. But keep in mind that even if it's hard, it's not healthy to have the approach, as with any other part of Halacha. I'm doing, what can I do? Baruch Hashem Ashreinu, Ma Tov Chalkeinu. Biologically, if a person has Chas V'Shalom doubts in Borei Olam, just by seeing a woman's reproductive system could sometimes be enough to remind a person of Marabu Masecha Hashem. If you think about it, it's unbelievable. The way the female reproductive system works is that once a month there are two ovaries. A woman is usually born with all the eggs she's going to have for her entire life. And once a month, the ovaries alternate, give an open egg. The ovaries will give up the egg into the fallopian tubes, which then travel, the egg will travel then to the uterus. The uterus is the part of the body, which is also the womb, which Chazal call the Makar, the source. And the egg stays within the reproductive system. If it's fertilized and everything goes well, the egg will latch on to the uterus and start growing into a baby. That alone is a nace. The fact that a baby grows inside a woman's body is an unbelievable nace nidla. Eventually then, after 9 months, the baby is supposed to be born. The baby will go to the vaginal canal and then come out of Olam. The baby will be born. Also, in order for the uterus, for the makar, to be able to sustain a pregnancy, it's not enough for the uterus to be the muscle that it is. It needs to have a strong lining. The lining, the endometrial lining, or the endometrium, is a lining of thick tissue and blood vessels which allows the egg, which is fertilized, to latch onto the uterus to sustain the pregnancy. It's through the endometrium and through the uterus that the baby is able to have a placenta, which is going to give it nourishment, give it oxygen. That's all through the endometrium. What if the egg's not fertilized? Eventually, after a few days, if the egg's not fertilized, the egg's going to disappear. It's going to exit through the vaginal canal. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu also made the woman's body hormonally able to sense that the egg was not fertilized, which means the endometrium doesn't need to be thick anymore. If there's no baby for it to sustain, there's no need to have a thick endometrium. So then, the endometrial lining is going to slough off. It's going to slough off. You're going to have tissue, blood vessels, and blood. That is Dam Nida. It's going to pass along its way as the baby would be leaving the cervix. But most people call it Tzavar HaRechem, and the vagina, vaginal canal, which goes to Adrar HaOlam. Any blood from the cervix or from the vaginal canal, Tamei Tahar, Tahar. The only dam we're concerned about, the only dam which is Dam Nida, is dam which comes min HaMakor, from the actual uterus. It's not from the womb, it's not from the uterus, it's going to be tar. What if it comes from the ovaries, fallopian tubes, cervix, vaginal canal? All mutter. In point of fact, sometimes it's hard to know. The woman checks herself, it's hard to know if she sees blood, it's hard to know where the blood comes from, which is a separate issue. But in theory, before you do the practice, any dam which is not min ha-machar, it's not only tahar. Because dam nida is, by definition, dam mechelot ha-sfogi, from the endometrial lining of the uterus. That's what dam nida is. There's one aspect, one other part of the reproductive system we're going to focus on in the future, which is the psulim, the hymen, which is located to the very end of the vagina, which creates in its own right issues in hilchos nida. We'll talk about that later in the session. The Gemara says that if a woman has any blood, whether it's a lot or a little, afil roa, tipas dam kechardol, the tiny bit of blood, the size of a mustard seed, tiny bit, she's tameya. She's tameya, which means she's a nida. In order to remove that tumah, she needs two things. We presume she needs to have zainikim, 7 clean days, and then on day 8, the beginning of day 8, she goes to the mikvah. So most of our shiur we're going to be discussing one of those three parts. Number one, what defines dam nida that makes her tameya. Number two, what are these zainikim, these 7 clean days that can help her become tahora. Number three, going to the mikvah, when it is, how to do it, which is the night of day 8. We're going to begin with the first aspect, tipas dam kechardol. A woman has even a little bit of blood the size of a mustard seed. Despite the fact that halacha ma'isa we passed in, that if a woman has even a tipas dam kechardol, a tiny bit of blood, she's tameya, as long as it's dam in a makar, there are really two different types of tumah. Actual nida is tameya mida raisa, mina Torah. And then we have dam nida, which is only tameya mida rabban. Dam nida, which is tmei min haTorah, is real dam nida. Dam nida, which is only tmei min drabanan, is what we call a kesem. Literally, it's only spotting. It's not considered a real period. What's the difference? A period is tmei min haTorah. Chazal added a whole host of situations which are not really periods. They're only spotting. The blood came out for some other reason. It's still uterine blood, but if it didn't come out through a period, she's not tmei min haTorah. She's only tmei min drabanan. And we're going to discuss in a minute that it's not just a machlokas, and that's not just a difference lahalacha, min haTorah min drabanan. There are halacha l'maisa nafkaminas. Major differences if the blood a woman sees makes her tameya min haTorah or makes her tameya min drabanan. How do we know though if it's a period, which is tameya min haTorah, or it's kesem, it's spotting, which is tameya only min drabanan? The Mishnah tells us, and the Gemara at the end of the Masechet Nida tells us very simply. If there's a hargasha, if she has a sensation, she feels the dam leave her uterus, she's tmeya min haTorah, that's a period. But if somehow she's in the middle of nowhere, badka karka olam, she's sitting somewhere and all of a sudden she finds dam, that's spotting, she's tmeya min drabanan. So the Gemara is very simple. If there's hargasha, she's tmeya min haTorah, no hargasha, it's min drabanan. The problem is that bizman hazeh, we lost hargashos. There's no feeling. Women don't have a sensation of dam leaving the makar. No one should feel dam leaving the uterus. Think about it. When sometimes a person has to go to the bathroom, one doesn't feel one's insides processing the food. If you have a stomach ache, you feel something girdling inside your stomach. We don't feel what's going on inside our body. So women don't feel the dam leave their uterus. So even though in theory we know that dam nida, which is min haTorah, which has a hargasha, dam nida, which has a hargasha, is min haTorah. Dam nida, which is only midrabanan, is no hargasha. We have no hargasha. So how do we determine what's considered period, which is min haTorah, what's considered spotting, which is only tmeya min drabanan? It's a tough question. The rule of thumb is, if it feels like a period, if there's a normal amount of blood which is like a period, then she's tmeya min haTorah. Usually women have periods, people have different amounts of blood that they have, but if there's anything remotely like the amount of blood she has during her period, that's a period. If last month she had X amount of blood, and this month she has something similar to that, it's tmeya min haTorah. If she has just a little bit of blood, that's tmeya midraban. Sometimes, even 50% of a period would be considered a period. That's already enough. It doesn't have to be the exact same each month. But if it's a lot of blood, riboy dam, she's tmeya min haTorah. If there's just a little bit of blood, she's tmeya midraban. Often, it's helpful. These are just shots in the dark a little bit. It's helpful to sometimes see what a woman's situation with sanitary pads is. Women sometimes know there are certain materials that women use in order to absorb blood that's drawn out of their bodies. A woman knows if she has a little bit of blood, maybe put in one pad, one panty liner in the beginning of the day. That'll stay the entire day. That's enough for spotting. But for a period, she needs to change them 3 or 4 times a day. So if she sees that she's changing maybe once, maybe twice, nowhere near what she usually does during a period, clearly it's spotting, it's not a period. But if she sees, no, there's a lot of blood here, she has to change it a few times a day, clearly that's a period. It's mea midaraisa, even though there's no hardasha whatsoever. One way which we cannot determine if she's mea min ha-Torah min ha-Rabbanan is by time. A woman cannot say, hold on a second, I just had my period last week, now I have a lot of blood today, this must be spotting. It's mid-cycle. I shouldn't be having dam. This is fallacious. It's not true. We cannot use time as a way of determining whether it's period or just spotting. Similarly, a more common mistake, people make this all the time, that a woman says, well, my last period was 30 days ago. I'm starting my period now. She has a little bit of blood which is spotting. She says, ah, my period started. Is that enough home? This is not true. Why is it not true? Because until it's riboy dam, even though as far as time she concerns, she thinks that it's going to be dam, that's considered, it's going to be a period, that's not considered a period, she's not tamea min ha-Torah.
Anna, Laura? I was going to say that just, you know, the sense of areyach bezmano above, like, she's expecting it to come at that time because that's when the guest is supposed to arrive.
That's true. That's true. Well, you know, people come late, and there's no way, as we'll talk about in the future, in all probability our period will come a few days later. But as much as the Gemaras, if anyone has seen neither, the Gemaras seem to talk about Vestos, the people are so regular, their cycles come so simply, halacha maisa, it's not, we don't know why, but it's not true. Women have a period about once a month, but there is no, by no means, any certainty that because it happened last Rosh Chodesh, it's going to happen this Rosh Chodesh, it happened last month, 30 days ago, it's going to happen 30 days later. People fluctuate in a tremendous way. So yes, her period might be starting, but until the period starts, she's Torah, Min ha-Torah. She might be Tamei Min Rabbanan, as we'll see in a minute, but she's not Tamei Min ha-Torah. So it's important to realize that so far we've seen that there's a major difference between Tumah Min ha-Torah and Tumah Min Rabbanan, not based upon time, based upon how much blood, based upon if it is the normal Tzuras of period. Some of the people use the fact that there are cramps or some other things which really are associated with the period, so it's approved to a woman as a period. But if not, even though there's blood, that blood's only spotting. Why is it so important to determine whether it's Tamei Min ha-Torah or Min Rabbanan? Who cares? Lamai says she's Tamei. There are three major naftaminas, lamaisa, major naftaminas, which determine whether a woman is tamei min ha-Torah, determine whether a woman is tamei at all, if the only tumah we're talking about is tumah min rabbanan. Three big kulas. If we're talking about tumah min ha-Torah, she's always tamei. But if the tumah we're dealing with is potentially only tumah min rabbanan, there are three kulas. Kulas made by Chazal, which we can capitalize on. Number one, if the dam that she sees is pachas mitadris, less than the size of, in contemporary times, a penny, she's tahora. If in theory we knew it was a period, and she had even less than a dris, she's tamea min ha-Torah. Usually we don't know that, because usually if it's so little, it's not going to be a period. But in theory, if it would be even less than the size of a dris, if it's really a period, tamea min ha-Torah. But if it's only tumah min rabbanan we're talking about, if it's spotting, anything less than a dris is tahora lahalacha. Which means a woman can be spotting, think a period is coming, see blood on her underwear, and think, hey, I'm Tamea. It's not true. She's totally Tahora, Lagamri. Not just Midrabanam, Tahora Lahalacha. Pachas Midris is Tahora Lagamri. Number two, if she has Dam, which is only Tamea Midrabanam, Chazal were only those there on white garments. Anything which is not white is tahora. Which means, in theory, if a woman sees blood for some reason in the middle of the month, or even if as a slow period, it's still starting, and it's on black underwear, red underwear, purple underwear, whatever color it is that's not white, tahora lagamri. In fact, this is not just an excuse. Says the Ramah, lahalacha, in Shulchan Aruch, l'ficha, tilvash ha'isha tzivonim. Lahalacha, eitz hatova. You don't need to increase tumah. Chazal made this idea of kesem if you find it. There's no need to make yourself more prone to becoming Tamea. If a woman finds dam, she is going to be Tahora, Hitzamidan Sivonim. And this, again, is important to keep in mind, this is not related to the first Kula. Even if it's more than a dris, if it's on Begadim Sivonim, she is Tahora. If it's a tremendous amount of blood on Sivonim, of course she's Tamea because then it becomes a period. But anything short of that, is going to make her tahora halacha maisa. What does white mean? White means anything that you could remotely call white. If you look in the shiurim here, we have the walls and the whiteboard. These are two different colored whites, but they're both considered white. The ceiling, same color. The speaker, anything which is white, which could be called white, is white. Off-white, on-white, in-between white, that's white. What about ivory? Unclear. As you move away from white, it's always unclear. It's always good to stay away. Which means, whenever you buy anything for the home, bed sheets, pajamas, pillowcases, towels, robes, Eitz HaTova, stay away from white. Why bother? Now, if you decide to take a risk and you buy white, that's fine. You're not doing anything wrong halachically, but why do that? Why create a situation where you could cause yourself to create more tumah when there's no need for it? And this, again, is true halacha. The one thing which is important to keep in mind is that if, sometimes when you try to avoid white, try as you may, you think you did it and you didn't. For example, the bottom of many women's clothing, let's say leggings, which could be black, sometimes have a white part which could become tamea. So even though you think it's black, be careful. Just be careful when you think things are white, they're not. Sometimes there could be leggings which are totally black, there's a lining which is white, just a threading. But if it's enough to have more than a gris, it's mayor. So just be careful when you try to buy non-white, make sure it's really not white. There's a discussion in the postum. Some postum think that pastels, it's a minority opinion in the postum, that pastels are not considered, are considered white. It's a problem. We are made though. We presume that pastels are not a problem. Pastels are not a problem as well. If white is white, anything which is not white is not white.
Adam. Rabbi Tanner suggests that Halach Lamaisa, if she's actually spotting larger than a gris or more, then you should do a real bedika just to make sure.
Wow, wow, we'll talk about that. Wow. Psh, bit finish. We'll talk about different opinions as far as that. You can get yourself in that water also. We'll talk about that. This prula, this leniency of tzivonim, is important to keep in mind. Sometimes it's very handy, but again, it can sometimes you think you're doing it, you're not. For example, you buy sheets which are not white, which you should definitely not have sheets that are white. You might think that you're okay. Well, a maisa, sometimes you could be in trouble. Why? Because it's very common. People sometimes put mattress pads on their mattresses between the mattress and the sheet. By definition, mattress pads are almost always white, which means that if you have a mattress pad, you think the sheet is tzivonim, that there's no problem. Lamaisa, if blood goes through to a mattress pad, it's going to be a problem. But here we have one of the yisodos in Nida, which will come through time and time again, is halacha and the U.S. Army agree. Don't ask, don't tell. We have a don't ask, don't tell policy, which means if you're not sure if the blood went through the sheets, the mattress pad, there's no need to look. So keep in mind, mattress pads could be a problem, but there's no need to check them. So if you see the dam on sheets, either leave the sheets there, or take off the mattress pads and the sheets together, put them all in the one room without looking at them. But just know that if you take off the sheets and see the mattress pads, you can sometimes get yourself into hot water. And one other halacha from the Shir Dris, if a woman sometimes feels that she's spotting, she's at work, let's say, she sees she's spotting, and she, for some reason, is wearing white undergarments, and she's concerned that the white undergarments are going to, if she leaves them on the whole day, are going to have a Shir Dris, she's allowed to change garments in the middle of the day. There's no chiyuv for a person to say, oh, I'm spotting, I have to wait from morning until night, see if a dris comes. If a dris comes, I'm tameya. If not, not. If a dris comes, she's tameya, but there's no need for her bedafka to wear the same garment the entire day. She's allowed to change. Similarly, the halacha is, we presume that if there's a bit of dam which is a dris, which is less than a dris, another bit of dam which is less than a dris, and they're joined, that's going to join to make her tameya. Even if they're joined by non-dam fluid, they're joined by Mara Tahar, it's still going to make for Tameya. So it's important, if a woman's going to rely on the less than a sheer dris, she should keep on changing her garments because she can sometimes get herself into trouble. Alternatively, wear tzivonim, then if you wear tzivonim, there's nothing to talk about. Back to the idea of dris, a woman's allowed, if she's wearing white garments, she's allowed, even during, as we'll talk about, whatever she's wearing white garments, she's allowed to switch during the day to make sure it doesn't end up being a sheer dris. Again, if she's fooling herself, and it's really a period, there's a lot of dam that's fooling herself. But if there's dam, if it's just going to be a few drisim, you're going to keep on adding a little bit, there's no concern. If you can keep on switching in the middle of the day, there's no chiyuv to make yourself have dam and make yourself more prone.
What's the
dris? Any dam, if you have A and B which are next to each other,
any dam,
and then dam is mesarif, or even married tahor. Let's say, as we'll see, dam is considered, dam is usually red. Let's say there's brown between them. That brown, even though the brown is not going to be added to the shear dris because the brown is going to be tahor, brown can be a shalkan between two half dris maros and make it a problem. So if a woman's going to wear one pair of undergarments throughout the entire day, chances are, if she's going to have a dris just by dripping throughout the whole day, she's allowed to change. She's allowed to do that. And the third kula we have, that Chazal were only dozer, a kesem, tumim midrabanan, on something which is makabel tuma. For example, a woman, let's say, is in the bathroom, and she's getting dressed, and some dam falls on the floor. She is tahara. Even more than a dris, even if the bathroom tile is white. Why? Because one of the things that's not makabel tuma in halacha is karka. And karka doesn't only mean ground itself, it means anything which is mechubar with karka. Anything connected to the ground, the entire building is connected to the ground. Even on the toilet seat, whatever the toilet seat, which is installed into the ground, that's also mutter. Because lamaisa is only considered something which is connected to the ground, which is not makabel tuma, she's going to be tahara. That case as well. If a woman has any dam, says the Shulchan Aruch, on someone who's not makabel tuma, she's tahara, says Rav Moshe, unbelievable kula. And it's funny, Rav Moshe was sometimes reluctant to rely on this kula in of itself, but we rely on this often with Derech Klal as a freestanding kula. Anything which is disposable, Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, is not makabel tuma. Which means tissues, toilet paper, things that are disposable that are really ruined once something falls on them. Rav Moshe writes, that's not a kli, it's not makabel tuma. So even though paper in theory could be considered something which is makabel tuma, it's not makabel karka, Rav Moshe writes disposable things which are junky, which are thrown out, chad pami, thrown after one time being used, are not makabel tuma. Included in that are sanitary pads, panty liners. If a woman uses something to shield her undergarments from dam nida, and there's real dam on that, even though it's white and it's more than a dris, according to Rav Moshe, she is tahora. Lamaisa, not everyone agrees with Rav Moshe, and we do pass on Rav Moshe. Halach Maisa, we pass on Rav Moshe. But it's important to keep in mind, what if you're in a situation where you could avoid it? Don't try to invoke this tool of chatzilah. So it's better if a woman is in a situation where she has a pad on to throw out the pad without looking. Again, U.S. Army, don't ask, don't tell. There's no need to look. If she looks, usually we make them. There's no need to mitzchila be someone from Rav Moshe altogether. I passed a pharmacy once in a from neighborhood that was advertising they sell black sanitary pads. Fantastic. Then you don't need to mind Rav Moshe. That's considered savonin. But what if it's not savonin? What if it's white, like they usually are? We're still makel. At least with the other, we make it like Rav Moshe. If it's going to be disposable, it's okay. It happens often in the bathroom, a woman has on some sort of tissue or toilet paper. We're makel. It's not considered a problem because it's disposable. Adam.
Rabbi Tana recommends lining the panty liners with a tissue.
Wow, what's the nylon of that? You mean a colored tissue? Then you don't have the. Then, like Rav Moshe Lamaisa was reluctant, he was from the Tshuva, to remind us Lahalach Lamaisa in itself. But we are making like Rav Moshe, we out Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe, apparently in the Tshuva, Rav Moshe is Mekel. They point out from Shemesh, from his Talmidim, that he necessarily did not like rely on this Lachatila. We do. He writes in Shuvah that it's mutter, we rely on this Lachatila. We rely on this in of itself for the other. But again, why get involved if you don't have to? There's no need to look if you don't have to. Sorry?
You're not looking.
Right, meaning you don't know. For a period you can't avoid. But Kesamin, the whole idea of Kesam, Midrash Lachatila, U.S. Army, don't ask, don't tell, you don't need to know. Obviously, if you know it's there and you're avoiding it, it doesn't help. I mean, if the husband sees it and the wife doesn't see it, then that's considered open. We'll still be mekel. But why get involved? There's no need to get involved if you don't have to. These are the three kulas, three major kulas, lahalacha, that differentiate chesamim, real dam, chesamim, spadim, from real dam, neither from a period. But there are three chumras as well. These three chumras are mentioned by the Gemara. Not everyone applies in every case, but it's important to realize that as much as chesamim are often mutter, because of these three leniencies, there are three situations which make what would have been spotting into real dam nida. It could have been something which is just spotting, and we make it, we're concerned that it's a real period. It seems in the Gemara, the reason we're concerned is that since the three things we're going to discuss are accompanied by sensations, And we mentioned that a real period comes with a sensation. We're concerned that it's possible a woman thought she had a sensation of one of the three things we're going to discuss. In reality, there was a sensation of a period. Therefore, she's Tameya Minatar anyway. So we're about to discuss three things that even though in reality they should make her Tameya, she should still only be Tameya Midrabanan. Because of one of these three things, we're going to make into a Tumah Minatara. Tumah Minatara is going to obviate these three tulas that we just discussed. So it's important to be aware of these three situations. Number one, the Gemara and the Rambam passes the halacha that if the dam nida comes through any internal inspection, she's Tameya Minatara. That means, the simplest way, if she does a bedika, as we'll talk about, in order to verify that a woman is tahora during the Zayin Nikiyim, the seven clean days, she needs to take a small piece of material, cotton material, and clean inside the vaginal canal to make sure there's no dam. What if she does that stam? She wants to do a bedika, and she finds a little bit of blood. Even if it's a tiny bit of blood, she's Tameya Minatara. There's no idea of gris. And my wife often cringes. Sometimes people call her up, callers often call her up and say, I did a bedika before my wedding, but I know there's no need to show something. I threw it out because it only has a little bit of blood on it. My wife always gets so upset. What do you mean a little bit of blood? A little bit of blood, if it's through a bedika, it's Tameya Minatara. It's a very serious shayla. So once she already threw it out, there's sometimes ways to be makel, whatever. You have to try to work stem in your head to try to be makel, but that's not right. Of course not. If it's through a bedika, she's Tameya Minatara. We don't have the leniencies of less than a gris or tzivonim. Which is why, let's say a woman in theory takes tissue, and for some reason has a bedika with tissue. She inserts it deeply inside her, even if it's blue tissue. So it's already less, it's already not mekabel tumah and colored, she's Tameya. You can see that it's blood. We don't have the leniencies of kesem. Another situation comes up very often, a tampon. A tampon is different than a sanitary pad. A sanitary pad is just something which lines the underwear. A tampon is some sort of cotton, something which is put inside the vagina in order to absorb the nida before it even exits. What if a woman decides, you know, I think I might have my period today? She puts a tampon inside, takes it out, and sees a tiny bit of blood on it. She is Tameya. Eyes disposable, eyes less than a dris, we don't care. If it's through internal examination, even Tivas and Fakhardal is going to make her Tameya. We're concerned that the tumor is going to be Tuma in Atara. However, if she puts a tampon in and she doesn't know there's dam on it, there's no reason to presume there's dam on it, what should she do it in? Rest army. Don't ask, don't tell. Even though the concern there might be the stakes are higher, it's a concern of Tumah Minatara, but we don't even know that she has any Tumah altogether, so she can ignore the tampon. So if a person is using a tampon, ignore, throw it out without looking, unless she's in the middle of her period, then there's no reason to ignore it because she knows it's down there anyway. Another situation which the Gemara talks about is if dam nida comes right after urination, right after going to the bathroom. The Gemara says we're concerned the sensation of going to the bathroom as well as the sensation of period might be mixed up. It comes right after going to the bathroom, she's Tameya. Now the Gemara even seems to say that it's only right after. If it's a few seconds, a simple amount of time afterwards, she's not going to be Tameya Minatara. But why play with fire? Why get involved? One yisod, which is very hard to change within people, is once you go to the bathroom, a married woman should not look. She shouldn't know what's going on in the toilet. Because she can only create problems. If she urinates, she should ignore. She should flush the toilet without looking at all. Because if she looks, she might cause some issues. Ignore. In fact, Rav Wood says sometimes, one time he had a shaila from someone who kept on asking in the bathroom shaila, so she had problems in the bathroom. He said, my psak now is, take out the light bulb in the bathroom. Don't look. That was the psak. Din. Don't look. Stop causing so many problems. Maximum will be a kesem sometimes, or it can be a suffix from the Torah. Ignore. Don't look. Lamaisa, there are posters they quote from the Chazanish, from others that are mako in bathroom shadows in general. So it depends on who you ask. Often we're mako, even if a woman did look right away. If there was no internal, if she cleaned herself with the tissue afterwards and went somewhat deeply, that's already the first issue we talked about. If it wasn't deep, then often we're mako. But depending on who you ask, the Gemara says it's a problem. So beware. Again, b'dieved, it's always important to ask. Often we are mako, l'halacha. But don't get involved in this problem.
But if this is like the ruach from after using the restroom, then this one side, but the other side is that with the effort you can do kinuach for a bedika, after like jumping around.
Whatever kinuach would work for a bedika would probably not be a problem. The question is also how machmir we are in the situation. Since it's the whole thing's a suffix, maybe it would be more makil. But you're right, sometimes it could be a little bit of a gray area. And then it's important to realize that even if you're mathematically in the situation going to the bathroom, then even if it's found on something disposable, that's not going to help. Because again, we're making this up to the level of Tumah Minatorah, not with Rabbanu. And the last situation was going to make a woman Tumah Minatorah, even though it might have been a Kesem, is Dam that's found after Tashmish. Dam which is found during or after Tashmish, we're concerned, is Tumah Minatorah. And really, in most situations, there might be two reasons to make that Tumah. It could be through an internal bedika. If there's Tashmish, if his body was inside her body, that's like an internal bedika. And we're also concerned about the hargosha of Tashmish itself. That sensation might be confused with a period, which is Tumeya Min HaTorah. Which means, halacha l'maisa. Often, after Tashmish, there's a lot of bodily fluid which is present. Husband and wife are going to want to clean themselves. They should exercise one of two options. Either he should clean himself, and she should clean herself with things that are disposable, then throw them out without looking, throw them into the garbage, or throw them into the laundry. But do not look. Because if you look, you can cause serious, serious problems. Ignore, ignore, ignore. Even if he finds it on his body an hour later, it's a problem, because where's the Gemara says, where does Dam on his body come from? Obviously it's from her. So you should clean himself well and ignore, do not look. The less you know, the better you are. Don't ask, don't tell. And in general, there's no need, barring what you mentioned before, Adam, we presume, halacha, there is never, ever a need for a woman to check herself, except the times that there's a chiyuv. When's that? We'll talk about during the Zayin Nikiyim, during the 7 days that she has to prove that she's clean, she has a chiyuv to check. Also during Vestos, as we'll talk about a little bit later, if there's a cycle and she's conscious that today she's going to see, then she has a chiyuv to check. But barring the times there's a chiyuv to check, women should never check. There's no need to ever check. The second parak of Masechet Nida, it's called Kol Hayad. What does the Mishnah say? Kol Hayad Hamar Be'Luzok Vanashim V'Shubachas. The more you check by women, the better. Unclear what that is. Rabbi Forst suggests perhaps that was talking about times when people were much less sensitive. But now these people are so sensitive, we say that in general they could cause problems to themselves. Alternatively, in the days of the Gemara, they knew sometimes how to differentiate between Dam which is Min HaMakar and Dam from anywhere else. But nowadays, any Dam that we find we're going to be Matame, so we have a lot to lose and very little to gain. But number three, the postman points out, the reason the Mishnah might say that it's good to check in Masechet Nida is because in those days they were Makar and Tumah V'Tahara. So the more you check, even if a woman becomes a Nida, we know that any Taharos that she worked with were not really ruins more than for a few minutes or a few hours, because you checked every hour, let's say. But nowadays we have no Tumah V'Tahara. There's only one reason a woman becomes a Nida, the only one reason Lavacha, it's Beno Leina. So there's no need, don't ask, don't tell, do not do a Bedika unless it's necessary. So in all these cases, these are if they come up. But Chacham in a Barosho, try to avoid them altogether. Right. No, it's also the sensation itself. We're concerned, just like by Meir Glein, the sensation, the feeling, we're concerned she might confuse one feeling with another. That's already enough of a reason. But aside from that, just the fact that it's internal sometimes, if it's found in his body, might be a problem as well. And all those don't ask altogether. And we'll end with one important rule. Rabbi Willard points out, this is not always found in classical postim. Each person has a little bit of tweak of how it works. We have a concern, even though we spend time talking about the leniencies of chsamim, some sort of kulas that could come up with chsamim, and we said that in many situations, a woman, even though she has dam, is totally tahora. Well, halacha, not just in Jabana, she's totally tahora. It's important to sometimes be careful, because if a woman has dam, and she's not expecting it, or she is expecting it, and her period is coming soon, and she's not yet considered as to having her period, if it happens sometimes that she'll be with her husband that night, and then in the middle of Tashmish, they have dam. Her period starts, which means that when they started, she was tahora. But Maisa, it ends off, that's Tashmish with Anita. Terrible thing. Which is why Rav Willow has a klal, he says, once a woman has spotting, even if the spotting is mutter, for 24 hours, the husband and wife should separate, no Tashmish. Why? Just see what happens. Just see what happens. There's no hachatos, we'll talk about certain other hachatos, absolutely no problem touching, hugging, kissing his mutter. Just after the tashmish, just because chatan and barosha, you want to see what happens, you're not sure what's going to be, therefore, beware. Not everyone agrees to this exact way. As Rabbi Willard points out in an article that he wrote, sometimes we'll say 12 hours instead of 24 hours in certain situations. Let's say the woman just came to the mitzvah, maybe it can be more makel. But there are plow, everything being equal, 24 hours, it doesn't mean that to 24 hours as opposed to 23 hours. It means have a good day of space just so you can see what happens, the period. They quote in some of the contemporary sermons that Rabbi Yashiv had a different approach. Rabbi Yashiv said, like you said, Adam, before, maybe from Rabbi Tendler, that if you, any time a woman's spotting, she should do a bedika in order to make sure that she has no more dam. Now that is a very sticky situation, because if she's spotting, she has a bedika. What's going to happen if she sees dam in the bedika glove? She's going to make herself tamea, passive in a tara, where it could have been there for days, she could have ended up still being tara. So halacha, we don't usually say that. Whoever you have to know who you have to shy was to, but usually we don't say that a woman has to do a bedika if she has spotting, because often she can pose herself in this kilpul for no reason. But we do say that you should be ena verosho, you should beware, where Rehud has a 24-hour rule, others might tweak it a little bit differently. If she has spotting, stay away from actual tashmish, just because we want to make sure there's no dam which is going to, no nidus which is going to end up being there. We'll end this year with this halacha for today. We'll continue as Hashem next Thursday. Again, right after Minchat Beis Medrash, which is approximately 2:52. I look forward to seeing everyone. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask.